Hi, this is Katie, and it is actually the 10th day of this Money Matrix Marathon, and it's been quite the ride. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about the theme of the day a little bit, and then I'm going to talk about a few other things, and then we'll get feedback, and we'll do some clearings and a mixture of things. So, first of all, just on the theme of the day is, and I made a mistake when I was announcing this in my email to you about today, and it's kind of funny, but I did a correction. It's about how to create abundance without selling your soul to the devil, and instead I put, funny slip, how not to create abundance without selling your soul to the devil in my first version. So, but it is how to create abundance without selling your soul to the devil, which is a big theme for a lot of us, because we think that once we actually get abundant, the way that we have to get abundant is by selling our soul to the devil, either. And it can manifest in a lot of ways. For example, if we're doing promotion and sales, we think we have to do it in maybe a slimy way, or we have to take a job which really doesn't suit us, or all those kinds of things. So that's kind of pretty deep in the psyche often. And I think we looked at other angles around that before. And then that's an angle. And if you look at the Faust, the Faust story, that really is, one of the quintessential stories about that. And of when that happens. And, of course, when you do sell your soul to the devil, you really do lose everything in the end. So it's like it may be temporary gain, but it's certainly not gain in the long run. So, so that's the theme. And the actual Magic Matrix tool for today is visioning. And focusing on the future and on the positive rather than the negative. Because when we focus on the positive, that grows. And if we focus on the negative, then we attract more of that. And when we vision something which is not here today but is possible and is what we really want in this life. And the trick is often staying in our daily lives focused on our vision rather than all the things that we don't want. So that's, that is something which is really a practice. I know it's a real practice for me to stay rooted in that. Now, that, of course, in the clearings that we do, we focus on the negative and getting out all the stuff. So it's also necessary to do that and to clear that and to be attentive to the negative stories we have. At the same time, putting more and more of our vision on and more of our energy into looking to a bright future as opposed to visions of doom and whatever that we have in our minds. So, and the clearing helps us to do that. So I actually had two readings that I wanted, that I was looking through my Cinderella stuff, and it's not exactly on the theme of today, but it just brings through some things that I think are important. And I have two readings from the past that I did quite a long time ago when I was exploring the Cinderella story. And I'd like to just take a few minutes to read them. One is from Cinderella, and one is from the Prince. And here we go. So, and then we'll see. Then I'll open up the call, and then we'll kind of see where we're going to go from there, because there's a lot of loose ends here. Okay. So, also, one thing that I wanted to mention is that I think there's a lot of ways in which you can continue this work on your own now that we're ending this, the Money Matrix Marathon. And I'll be sending you a letter with some, reiterating the resources that I've provided for you. There are a lot of things that you can follow through on your own. You can do the clearing on your own. You've got the techniques. You've got the recordings, which go more into the techniques, which empower you to do it on your own. And you've got the calls of the experts, all of these things which you may or may not have had time to listen to. I would really encourage you to profit from it. And secondly, I am sort of starting a pilot program. I'm actually in the process of figuring out more of my programs and a more sustainable business model for me with Denise, who's an amazing, who's on this call and who's an amazing strategist. But for the moment, what I'm going to be offering is a $97 monthly kind of like a membership club where you can do clearing, where we'll have two clearings monthly. One day where I will be offering individual laser clearings for people at, probably like for half an hour each, and also a get it done day, which is really good value for $97. And if people like, they'll be able to add a coaching session at $125. So whereas, my coaching, if you buy it on its own, is $200 an hour, and even in my coaching packages, that's it's not as low as that, so that's really good. So I'm really trying to give you the ability to take this further if you would like to with me. And for those of you who need more and who really need that individual coaching, which is really helpful sometimes if you're going into very, very deep issues, I'll also be offering a two coachings a month for to that package, and that'll be $297 a month. But with that, you'll have to do a minimum of 3 months. So those are I can explain that to you, whoever's interested, more later. And in my letter, I'll give you possibilities to follow that up. I don't want to take too much time there. But just to say, there are ways of following through with me if you feel like you need that additional help. And certainly what you've got here has been a lot to work with. So now let me see. So what I was going to do, and people can ask more about that later. So what I'm going to do is just do a couple of readings from Cinderella. And let me see. And this is Cinderella just before the prince comes to put on the glass slipper. He's coming. I know. I hear. Everybody's talking about it. He goes through the countryside on his horse with his loyal pages, visiting house to house, manor to manor, looking for me. Glass slipper in his hand. The anticipation is wicked. It's this prickle of excitement that runs all the way through me as I imagine his coming. The clop of horses in the courtyard, him dismounting the horse and striding into the house, my heart beating wildly, louder than the horse's hooves. And then my sisters and my stepmother in their last preparations, making themselves as charming and as enticing as they can, rushing, simpering to meet him. And I shall rest by the fire, pretending to scrub in my dirty clothes and with my sooty face, so they don't suspect. They can't even imagine that he would even think to ask me. And as he fits the shoes onto each of their unyielding feet, and it refuses to fit, then I shall slowly rise and look him in the eye, the way we did when we first met, and he will know me, and I will say, "Would you like me to try?" And he shall say, yes, of course. All the women in the kingdom are free to try. And with eyes not leaving my eyes, he will kneel down and put on the shoe easily. My sister and mother protesting, laughing, saying, why are you doing that? She never could be. And then their words will freeze, and they will see the awful truth. They will see that it is me that is the precious jewel he has been seeking. They will see as he embraces me that I am the one who will inherit the kingdom. And their silence will be terrible as they realize in one long moment what they have done to me and to themselves. I shall be too much in the joy of the moment to be caught in the heaviness of their own realization. And in that moment of joy, of being accepted into my true place, as I release my old life of drudgery and pain, I shall release all my dreams of vengeance, all my tied-up anger that has been knotted in my stomach and clutched in my throat. I shall say, dear sisters, thank you for teaching me what is to be scorned, maltreated, unseen for who I am. Thank you for each time of these that I think of these things. It will be enable me to have heart and compassion for those in similar circumstances, and to open to their gifts and contributions. Thank you, dear sisters, for a million lessons that strengthened and forged me into who I am, a woman loved by the prince and a woman who brings to the prince her own special treasures. Thank you, sisters, for teaching me that within the most cast-out, downtrodden spirit, there is a spirit that longs to be seen and freed. I have been helped by the magic of the fairy godmother, inspired to get up from the hearth and to remember who I am, and I shall learn from her more about how to bring magic into others' lives. Okay, so that's from Cinderella. And I also had written something from the perspective of the prince, and so it's a little shorter, and I'm just going to read this because I think it gives an angle on his character, which we don't usually think too much about when we're doing the story. So here's my take on it years ago. I've heard that my courtiers have found her, the one who for 3 days danced in my arms, whose heady fragrance intoxicated me, whose compassion and substance unfroze my heart, too long sugar-coated by the manners and artificialities of court life. I have become cynical, expecting no more than the endless line of women looking to marry me, not for who I was, but for wealth and standing, and for a handsome husband to show off. She was different. She looked me in the eyes and saw my soul, all that was there, my vulnerability, my sensitivity, the dreams I no longer dreamed. She awakened in me the longing I had covered over, almost extinguished in my need to fit into this role of being prince, heir to the throne. She gave me new perspectives on a kingdom that could be far different than that of my mother and father, a kingdom where the spirit and the fire and the light were cultivated, where the songs of the birds and the scent of the flower were held in a greater esteem than all the man-made concoctions on which our artificial lives depended. She was fresh air, wild, and she awakened within me my nature which has been long asleep. I wait for the moment for her to arrive. I hear the sound of horses and bugles trumpeting. I hear the sound of feet coming towards me, and then I see her step forward, her face covered with ashes, her clothes rags, and yet for me she is more beautiful than any court lady in their finery. Her luminous eyes draw me in. Now there is no turning back. So actually, in this scene, Cinderella seems to have been brought to him rather than him going. Forgotten that. Different angles on the story. So that's just some additional thoughts on these characters from my point of view. And I'm going to now just, I think I'm going to open it up. I know there's some clearing that I would like to do around some invisibility issues, and I know that Gary mentioned to me he felt invisible as a man in some of the stories and things that I said. So I would like to actually do a little about that. And okay, so just to open it up to comments and to anything that people want to bring to this call. And we can't do everything, but I'll try and do as much as I can to clear some of the remaining issues and some of that that you would like to get cleared today. Now, also, people will be having individual sessions who are scheduled for that, and we'll go deeper on those issues there. Okay, so, but anything you feel that would be helpful for today, that would be great. So here we, I'm going to take you guys off mute so I can hear you.
Hey, Katie.
Yes. Hi.
Thought I'd jump in instead of waiting for the end.
Okay, great. Is that, just a second, is that Trina?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, great. Hi, Trina.
Hi. One thing that occurred to me while you were reading those two things is that one of the problems that I have with not resonating with the Cinderella story at all is that it's all of her wealth and wonderfulness, her glorious future is all tied up in finding a prince.
Mm.
And it's not, you know, it's like that's the deal, is she's finding the prince and he's the key to the package.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, well, so if you don't find your prince, does that mean you don't get the package?
Ha ha ha.
I mean, I spent a lot of time in my early adulthood forging a career in construction.
Yeah.
And going to hardware stores and getting, you know, doing stuff like guy stuff. And I kept running into, "Oh, you think you're as good as a man." And that's like, no, actually, I kind of think women are better than men, but because we don't waste our time on football. But anyway, so, you know, that was to me a big deal when I was younger, that financial success was tied to finding the right man.
Right, and actually, you do.
Not that I wasn't looking for a prince. It's just that I didn't really have high expectations of him being rich, I guess.
Well,
anyway, that's my two beans worth.
Thank you. And actually, I was reading something yesterday, or just actually, it was a headline or something about, you know, the trap of looking for the handsome prince, because it is actually an archetype which has its problems, because a lot of us women are thinking that what we're going to find our happiness or whatever, our wealth in princes, and they don't appear. However, in the story, how I use it in the story for myself is that the prince is actually, for me, a symbol of arriving, you know, that whole situation. So, you can work with the story in many different ways. And they, so I'm wondering with you, and I mean, you can totally rewrite the story if you like. And if you want to write work with these stories, and it seems like there are some fairy stories that or stories that resonate more with you, and I would urge you just to go for the characters and the stories that resonate with you, because certainly there's a huge realm of fairy stories with lots of different situations, lots of different characters. And I've chosen these because these were ones that I actually had a lot of experience and knowledge of diving into and enjoyed them. And but by all means, look for the ones that will work for you. Does that make sense, Trina?
Well, yeah, it does make sense. I'm groping for fairy tales, but I wasn't.
Yeah, maybe it's not fairy tales for you. And you see that, something that I should mention is that
all of Western civilization was kind of what I was reading when I was 10, so.
Right. So we all go for different things, and this is something I just want to say again. Like, what I do is, based on my experiences and things that I love and what I've profited from, and some people will find it very helpful, and some other people won't, and or they will find it partially helpful. And that's probably natural and something that will happen with everything. So I invite you to take what you can from what I'm giving you, whatever suits you, you know, use it to the T, and the rest of the stuff, find what will really suit, you know, which will fit you. I've certainly done that. I've been with many, many teachers, and I've taken from them whatever is useful for me, and other stuff I think, well, you know, may work for other people, but it's not working for me. So I just, you know, would like to say that, and 'cause I certainly have done and am continuing to do a big journey around, you know, all the issues in my life and finding all kinds of tools that are helpful. So anybody else like to is there anything, Trina, you would like to? Sorry?
Yeah, I just wanted to say one thing there in comment is that what I need to look at is why so many, and there's a lot of stuff in there, why Cinderella pisses me off so much.
That could be a good thing. You could do a rant, like a little.
There's a lot in that story that trips a lot of triggers, not necessarily positive. But anyway, yes, go. That's it.
Oh, Trina, if you feel like it, would you write a rant? I mean, or a kind of a thing about why you hate the Cinderella story? I think that could be very helpful.
Yeah, well, I'll think about it. Okay, I'll rant on it a little bit, see what comes out, okay?
I think that would be really fun. And, you know, if you felt like posting it on Facebook, I'm sure everybody would enjoy it, including myself. So
okay.
I hear. So thank you, Trina.
Yeah,
who is that? Yes?
This is Denise.
Hi, Denise.
Hello. So I really appreciated the reading from the prince's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for one thing, we rarely hear that perspective, but also both of those readings, what was interesting was that both Cinderella and the prince, it was really about that deeper meaning, about being really seen for who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been really valuable in the story. But the reason I wanted to share is I had a dream last night. And in the dream, and you're going to laugh a little bit about this, but in the dream, and this is the first time ever I've had a dream where there was a PowerPoint presentation. So this PowerPoint slide shows up with three words on it, and the words were, change your perspective.
Mm.
And I thought, well, that's not just for me. That message may be for everyone, given that we're all together, and it was the night before our closing Money Magic Marathon. But change your perspective. And then you went and you read this thing, and you've used the word perspective a couple of times in your reading. And so the change your perspective, one of the valuable, I guess for me, the valuable part of the Cinderella story, and I too, when I was young, just felt that Cinderella was kind of a crock, you know, but I later in life, I realized that all of these stories of Western civilization, all of these stories are archetypal. You know, they all have, there's reasons why they show up in our psyche and in our society. And by exploring the individual characters, it's just been profound. And just trying to get into that character and understand how they were feeling and what they were thinking and why. And when you did this from the prince perspective, I just thought that really struck me. It was a different perspective, and it was the perspective of wanting, even though he was rich and had the court and had all the wealthy people around him, he wanted to be seen for who he was.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. And, yeah, and you really do see this with some people, you know, people who are wealthy, that they do have this feeling that everybody's after them, but they really not for who they are.
Exactly.
And it's a fear.
Cinderella felt the same way. You know, she wanted...
Yes.
Yeah, she... And so both of them, what it was about was it was about love, of course, but it was about being seen and appreciated and valued for their inner being, not, you know, the outer trappings.
Yeah, yeah. Which essentially everybody really wants, whoever they are. They want to be seen for who they are and appreciated. And yet we all go around trying to put on the trappings that we think will make ourselves acceptable and lovable to others.
Right. And also what I realize is all these stories, not just the fairy tales, but all the stories that are so important in our Western psyche, you know, the hero's journey, Luke Skywalker, Frodo Baggins, you know, all these stories are people finding their own inner power, really, their own inner essence, their own inner magic.
Okay.
It's the same story.
Thank you. Great. I love this. Change your perspective. I'm going to put that up for myself as well. So,
could I add to that just a tiny bit?
Yes, for sure. Is that Tyra?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Hi, Tyra.
Good morning. I think that what Denise is saying and what Trina was saying is a way to change one's perspective in not just how others see us, but how we see ourselves.
Yes.
I think that is really ultimately the key, no matter what's going on the outside. And hopefully we find a prince or some parallel for that allegory, and that is a wonderful thing, but it may be even more important for us to find the prince within ourselves, like you said, you know, some sort of, as an archetype and a metaphor for who we are.
Wonderful. Yeah, isn't that, I think that's really lovely how you phrase that. Yeah, finding the prince within inside ourselves. And for both of us, like both men and women, we have all these, you know, there's a feminine, the masculine type archetypes, but they're really parts of us in many ways, whether we're male or female. Like they're parts of the Cinderella story, which as a male, you may, you know, working too hard or being invisible, all those things are there. It's just you live it in a masculine body and in a different way. It manifests itself differently. So can I have anybody else would like to say anything?
It's Katrina.
Katrina. Okay.
You know, it's funny. After listening to everybody, I really I realized that, you know, Cinderella the story didn't really mean anything to me as a kid. You know, I wasn't really so like Trina, you know, fairy tales weren't part of my wasn't that into them.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you know, now that I'm rehearing the story in a new way, I realized that I kinda really lived that story, being adopted and being raised by parents who treated me like less than the other real children. I was always like the the token child, you know, and really feeling like Cinderella, you know, that, you know, always the one who had to, was treated as a second-class citizen in a way. And and I never really thought about it in this way, but I feel like without consciousness, like I feel like I've really lived out that archetype in a way, but not really knowing that I was doing that.
Yeah.
So it was really interesting to hear the stories from so many different perspectives and get, I learned a lot. So I just wanted to say thank you from everybody from all their interesting points of view.
Yeah, thank
and,
you.
So.
Yeah, so, and thank you for, yeah, for your angle on that story too. Anybody else like to put anything into, like in terms of clearing or that they would like to add here? I'm going to actually just, look, I had a message from one of the participants who couldn't be on. So I'm just going to check that for a moment and see if I can see it. And in the meantime, if anybody else wants to speak up and say something that's on their mind.
This is Anne.
Yes.
And,
hi, Anne.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I just had a couple of comments, and just wanted to thank everybody for everything that everybody has said. It's been really great kind of giving a 360-degree perspective. I really appreciate all that. And also that there is a great book which is called The Wisdom of the Fairy Tales, and it talks not so much about sort of consciousness in the fairy tales, but what's unconsciously coming through the fairy tales in terms of ancient wisdom and that kind of thing. It's just really interesting to look at both sides, like our sort of personal relationship to the fairy tales and then what's being sort of fed on a soul level through the fairy tales. And then the other thing I wanted to say is I believe this is what I got a note from a Vedic astrologer, and they said that tomorrow is because it's an eclipse. But if you make a change tomorrow, it's really, really strong. Like, it'll stay with you for a very, very long time. So in terms of our, you know, changing our habits or our get it done day, definitely tomorrow it'll really affect you in a much stronger way and stay with you in a longer way. So I just wanted to throw those things out.
Thank you very much for that. Yeah, I'd heard something that there was a big change, and I wasn't sure. I'm not. It's tomorrow, I suppose. I was thinking it was maybe today, but I. So wonderful. And The Wisdom in the Fairy Tales. That sounds like a really interesting book. And Kathy actually mentioned it yesterday on Facebook, and it's a resource that I'm wanting to give people. And it's on the Facebook page. It's Michelle Talker. A number of us, Kathy and Wend and me, have gone through, who are on this call, or maybe, been through courses or programs with workshops with Michelle Talker on the fairy tale and how to enter into the fairy tale. So there's a resource that Kathy mentions, which I really think people can profit from looking at because it's amazing work she does, and it's helped me a huge amount both artistically and personally. So that's on the Facebook page at the moment, but I will be resending it in. I'm going to be doing a final email for this, which will give people the link to the resources once again and also to that one. And I was just going to just read a little thing from Shelley, who can't talk but is often on the calls because she's away at this conference. And I'm so sorry I couldn't be there verbally on the last call to thank everyone for such deep heart sharing. I learned so much from everyone. A very powerful group indeed. I will miss these calls immensely, but it has created a habit for me of the importance of a set time that can't be missed. I plan to substitute exercise in place of the calls, something I've needed to get into in my routines. Please thank everyone else for that. Okay, and I also feel the importance of EFT healing codes and working with issues that come up. It has given me a renewed sense of hope and direction, especially with the results I'm feeling at the time. So, and then she goes on to say a few other things, but I'll just let, just communicate that. So thank you, Shelley, and I'm relaying the message to the group. And I see you're here, but y'all can't talk, so. Really appreciate it. And anybody else like to say something right now?
Katie, it's Loretta.
Yes, Loretta, hi.
Well, I just wanted to thank you and thank the group as well. But, you know, what really touched me was when Cinderella was talking to her sisters. And, again, I think because of my experience as being a Catholic nun, every time I heard sisters, I thought of the community that I had lived in for 50 years. You know, but the feeling was so positive, you know, and it wasn't that I was treated like Cinderella was by her stepsisters, but, you know, all of the difficulties that I've gone through in my life, to see them as a source of where I've come to be. But it's only possible when one has met the Prince within. And I do really believe that, you know, it's not an outer, even though I do have love in the outer as well. It's only when I have been able to really meet myself and accept myself. And when I do that, and when I really am there, and I feel that these 10 days have helped me to go deeper into that acceptance of myself, but even though this and this, I deeply love and accept myself meant a lot, then I can look and I can see all of my life experience, all the people, even the difficult ones, how they have, you know, brought me to the place that I am. And no gratitude, no deep gratitude and appreciation and a compassion. So I just wanted to say, you know, that touched me very deeply today, as every day something is touched. And just to say thank you to you and all the people on the call. The sharing's been tremendous.
Thank you. Anybody else? Gary, I was wondering, I know that sometimes we've missed hearing you for some reason. Is there anything you would like to say?
Just thank you to everyone. And even today's part of the reading of the fairy tale was more useful to me than anything before.
Mm-hmm.
And because even the fairy godmother, not the fairy godmother, the stepmother, as you were reading for that, how she kind of overlooked Cinderella, even though Cinderella isn't a guy, the woman, but it's still gender, that it's kind of like what I was feeling during this experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, it, you know, you and I need to talk about that offline, thinking everyone else's, but I think there's some way that I just didn't feel included as a guy. It's either it's my own issue or it's just the way it was projected. I'm not sure.
Okay. So, I mean, certainly, Gary, this has been because of the nature of the audience here, which is mainly women. Obviously, you're the only guy, so that's the,
I think it's being difficult.
And,
isn't it great,
you know?
Reverse discrimination? They must love it. So.
Well, it could be, or because we are mainly women, it has been oriented to women. So,
also want to, excuse me for interrupting. I think what the women were bringing forth, and that's why I didn't really get on most of the calls. Mm-hmm. I felt they were bringing through things that were really important. You know, not that my stuff's not important, but they were bringing through some things that were really more important than mine. So I kind of laid back. So I wasn't being invisible so much. I was laying back and letting them see, because I thought what they were doing was adding something that was really more timely for them and that I could still get a benefit from. And then it would also flush out my stuff at the same time. So that's why I was paying, you know, invisible intentional, but also invisible because why was I not feeling included by the story? But you guys didn't write the story. You're just reading it. So that's the thing.
And we were giving it our own interpretations. Like my Cinderella is very different than probably each one of yours. So thank you for sharing that. Is there anything else? Like, I mean, we can do a bit of clearing right now of not feeling included.
Oh,
and then we can
great.
Talk
I mean,
further.
The invisible. Also, I've had women bosses, and I felt so much discrimination in that. And so it's all the stuff that this has brought up, I think, is all good for me. So, yeah, I'd love to clear that. That would be great if the women are okay with that.
Yeah.
Sure. We've done a lot around anger of women against men and stuff like that. Why can't we do the opposite?
Can I say something?
Yes,
Katie,
sure.
It's Deborah. I just wanted to say that I really appreciate, Gary, I really appreciate your presence in this group. It's really important to have the masculine here. It's, you know, it's part of the reconciliation, I think, that is really important between the masculine and the feminine. So I think it's so fantastic you were here. And so thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I just wanted
to present that.
Thank you, Deborah.
I would also like to say that I think it is, this is Tyra, and I think it's part of our culture today, since women have been liberated to the degree that they are, and men have sort of taken, in a strange way, a back seat, and their anger has come out in violence and anger and all of that, that I'm really, really glad you spoke up about it, Gary, and I think that it is a cultural thing as well as a group thing, and I think that I think women also need to see that vulnerability in men that causes them to do a lot of stupid things, just like we do stupid things because of our being excluded. It's just the way I see it now, and I work with alternatives to violence and with men, and I feel for men a lot, even if they've acted out or dreamed up the wrong life, just as we've dreamed up sometimes. Sometimes I feel that both sexes have, you know, we've all slightly at least sold out our souls to the devil by not believing in ourselves, and we can help each other no matter what the gender is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I just wanted
to mention
that because women, in terms of trying, of becoming who we are in reality, sometimes have played a male aggressive role.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to be assertive, and it's okay to be aggressive too, but unwittingly we may be harming mm-hmm. the male gender, but harming ourselves in creating its continuance.
Yeah, so true. And I think also because we've had models, sometimes women bosses, and sometimes when we get into situations of power and all that, we can kind of mirror what we've learned in the society in a way that we take on some of the negative parts, you know,
right.
And take on the same kind of ways that have actually acted against us in terms of work or other things. So, yeah, thank
but
you, Tyra.
For just going on another second or two, that
for sure.
That just as a little bit of feedback, that I hope that Gary is able to use it in a way of seeing maybe a role that he can play in helping other men feel like they're out, they're excluded, and how they can be brought into their own reality, their own dream of who they truly are.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to thank you for what you said, because I don't even really remember your words, but something shifted in me. There was like a calmness that came over me when you were speaking. Mm. So thank you for that. Like, I just relaxed. Like, it's like maybe this was all meant for me to just speak up and then be heard.
Mm.
And, thank you, Tyra, for what you said.
Oh, thank you.
Hi, Katie. It's Alex.
Yes, Alex. Hi.
Hi. I'd like to put something into the pot along this thread, and I really meant to do it the other day, actually, Gary, and so I want to acknowledge it now, but it was when Gary spoke about, the prince and realizing, oh, I could be the prince, but then, like, he sort of shared a bit of his fears around that. Like, there was definitely a vulnerability, and it sort of shifted something for me in terms of, like, oh, like, everybody has these fears, like even men, like it's like this thing of like how we have to kind of do it together. Like we can't each do it just separately. I mean, yes, we have to love the prince within, but then ultimately it's also about like the outer as well and mastering that in our life. So I just really appreciated, even though you maybe weren't as vocal, I appreciated definitely the little that you did say, and that was very like profound for the energy of the group. So thank you, and myself.
Thank you.
And I want to add one more thank you to that, Gary. It's Katrina. That was just fantastic. Everything you just said. I think it was so important to put that into this closing ceremony because I think you just articulated something that is certainly in the field with men, and it's really a wonderful reminder for me to because I can easily focus on just the women's side of things and neglect the male side of things, and it's really important for both. So I just want to honor you and thank you.
Very much.
Actually, I just went back to Facebook to look at your Cinderella story because I just wanted to look at it because I really liked it. And I just wanted to look at it before I do the clearing. I don't know what's going to come out with the clearing, but I thought I'd. And I'll just actually read it because not everybody may have seen it. And here we go. Here's my Cinderella story. I was not chosen for the ball, as the prince was seeking a woman, and I'm a guy. My fairy godmother came to help me, and when she took a closer look, she realized there was nothing she could do to get me invited. She did suggest I might work in the kitchen or mop the floors before the ball, as she noticed she could see her reflection in all the floors. Other jobs could have been one of the horsemen or the doorman, yet she wasn't sure if she could get me a green card soon enough. I stayed home playing checkers with another Passover, awaiting the news of my stepsisters to find out if they were chosen by the prince. It's a lot of great storytelling there. You got a talent. And, really lots of stuff there. So, Gary, anything more to say or anybody... anything more to say, or we'll give it a go with the clearings.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say a quick thing. It's just that
who is that? I'm not.
This is Anne. Can you hear me?
Oh, Anne. Okay, great. Yes, I can now.
Yeah. Just thank everybody for this great conversation, and just I'm realizing that. You know, materialism is something we're all talking about, you know, wanting to sort of overcome in a way. And I feel like materialism has so much to do with either or, you know, men, women, all this sort of conflicting point of view. And that what we're talking so much about is the essence of masculinity and femininity that lives within all of us. And instead of, we're all talking about not vilifying one or the other, but just to really, we're learning how to accept and kind of work in a bigger perspective with all these aspects of ourselves. So I don't know if that makes sense, but that's just what was coming to me about this conversation, which feels so core to what we're dealing with in the world.
Thank you. And Gary?
Yes. Oh, I was just going to say that I've always felt left out. And never, like Cinderella story is so true. That's how I felt, and that was always that I had to be something else that I was, or you know, here I was a guy, so I couldn't be invited because I was a guy. But there's something that comes the gratitude today, and that's what I was. Remember that note I wrote about being ungrateful. Mm-hmm. That already came through with the conversation today. So I just want to thank everyone for sharing mm-hmm. what you shared with me, because I feel like so much softer right now. And I don't mm-hmm. really feel soft. Mm-hmm. But so I could definitely use a clearing on this that story. But
okay, so
maybe,
we'll see what we can
would
do.
Benefit as well. So.
Sorry, I didn't hear that last bit.
I said hopefully everybody will benefit as much as me.
I'm sure they will. Everybody, yeah, and I'll see what I can do for this one.
Okay.
So, okay, so I'm just going to open myself up for that, and I'm going to put it on lecture mode for a moment, and then we'll come back later to talk. Okay. Even though I feel left out because I'm a male and things are changing, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I feel like I was left out because I'm a man, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I feel like I was left out because I was a man, I deeply love and accept myself. Always left out. Always at the edges, always left out, always at the edges, always left out, always at the edges. What was happening with me? What was happening with me? I don't know what happened with me. I don't know what happened with me. Why did I come to this life in this way, in this body, in this way? When I have so much wisdom and ability to give, so much healing, why have I been brought to this? Left out of the feast, not invited, not the right sex, not the right anything. Why have I not been invited? Why have I been not seen, excluded? Why have I been vilified? Why have I had all those past lives which have been horrific? Why am I born again? I don't want to be born again. I don't want to be born again. I don't want to be born again. I just want to be. I 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 want to let go of all this heaviness. I'd like to open my heart. But hell, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of women. I'm afraid of all those people who could take it out again. I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I'm afraid. What if it could be different? What if I can be strong and vulnerable? Strong and gentle? What if my gentleness was not used against me? Because my gentleness has been used against me. My not fighting has been used against me. My ceding to other has been used against me. What if I just stand up and assume my role? What if I become the prince? And God damn it to anybody who thinks I shouldn't be the prince, that I don't look like the prince they want the prince to be, or that I don't act like the prince they want to have. What if I'm just my kind of prince, the prince I would like, the prince I would like in my life? What if I'm just that prince, not the prince of fairy tales that I don't particularly like, but the prince that I want to be, the prince that I want to be, the prince that I want to be? Okie dokie. That seems to be the clearing around that for the moment. I'm going to open up in a moment, but I'm just going to look and see if there's anything else. Actually, I think I'm going to open up because I can't think of anything else right this moment. So, and see if anything else that people want to put in the clearing, or something that I've left out that you've already told me about. So, because there's... Okay. Gary, I'm just wondering if that resonated or if there's something that made you feel angrier or whatever. The truth. You don't have to please me here.
Oh, God. Oh, wow. I don't even know if I can do that. And, but, no, I actually, in my own way, had some releases. And not in the mental state, but more at an energetic level.
Yeah.
I had releases. And that I've just been so programmed to please. So
okay.
And so to speak up, even like I did, first I did the backdoor approach, as you noticed.
Yeah.
And because I didn't want to offend anybody. And
yeah.
Then I... then it came out, and even I started backpedaling with my, but I'm so programmed to please everyone without even knowing my true feelings. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And what's beautiful is the form that we have is that men and women go through the same thing. Even though we might be a man, and women think we're strong, we don't have emotions, there's a lot of guys who, you know, are just like them, and that's probably what aggravates them, because we're just like you. but we might not be as good as you expressing our feelings. So usually guys suppress their feelings and things like that. I'm almost putting on like a show for everybody. I'm giving you what you want to hear. And you say, well, what do you really want? It's like, I don't know. And I really don't know. So if that makes sense to anybody. But.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you. And I think that, please, so programmed to please, and just, you know, being able to let, the first stage of that is kind of letting out one's anger about having to please and all the things that piss you off. And, you know, and then it's kind of, yeah, you find ways of really finding yourself through the anger and through noticing what really pisses you off.
Right. And the other thing that the magical part of all this, there's so much magic, is I was Cinderella growing up. I didn't have, I mean, they were my real parents. They weren't step-parents or things like that, and they weren't step-brothers. I have three real brothers, but they treated me just like Cinderella was treated in that, so I could really resonate with the story from that point of view.
Okay.
I mean, that's what the gender, that's all.
Thank you.
So thank you. Thank you very much.
And Gary, so I'm so glad that you did speak up today, because it really has totally enriched the conversation and, you know, and the clearings. And
I want to thank you and everyone who's in this workshop, because you created the ambiance, the environment that I could speak up. I've said this to my family many times. And like, it's like I'm talking a foreign language. They don't understand what I'm saying at all, and they don't understand why I'm angry at all. But I want to thank each and every one of you, because I felt safe. So I want to thank you for that.
Well, thank you, Gary. And we'll see. We might have a little extra thing here, and we'll probably do the healing codes at the end. We're actually almost up at the hour, but I would like, we'll go a little more like we usually do, but hopefully not too much for people.
Katie.
So, yes, can I, other people would like to say something? Yes.
This is Denise. Well, first of all, I wanted to thank Gary, because, my psyche was saying, change your perspective today. And we experienced a change of perspective on the call. But what came up for me, and I think maybe would help with some clearing, is this whole concept of being programmed to please and not knowing and not knowing my own feelings or knowing what I really want.
Right.
And I think those two things have been a real gift from what Gary shared. You know, this whole idea of pleasing others and serving others, but not really knowing what I want.
Yeah, because it's been kind of stamped out of you pretty early. In order to please people, you have to, there's part of it that, you know, you can't accept who you are, and you have to mold it for that. So thank you, Denise.
And there's a disconnection of feelings, too. So, I mean, not knowing exactly what you want or how you feel.
Right. And I think I mean, with this, the anger part, this is where anger is really helpful. And believe me, I know anger. And I was very, I still am a people pleaser. I still do try. And I mean, there's still that part of me that's really strong that I'd like to please everybody. There's a good part in people pleasing is that we do want to serve others and be pleasing in general, but not at the cost of ourselves. And actually, it's interesting. We're on the topic, although we haven't really dealt with it so much, but selling our soul to the devil, it's like we are selling our soul to the devil when we're trying to please everybody, except and not really follow ourselves. You know, and who we are. So, but as I was saying, I think I got disconnected there. The anger will tell us anything that pisses us off, if we reverse it, we can see what we really want. It just takes a bit of digging. Yeah, and looking at what we're angry about and what it means and what things we don't want and how we don't like certain things. So what you don't like, well, what would you like instead? And looking at those questions. So anybody else want to say anything before we do one more clearing, and then I'm going to do a final couple of words from people about the course and about the program, and then I'm gonna actually end with the healing code set for whoever can stay, just as a nice way to close the circle. So that's my plan, and I hope it works. So would anybody else want to throw something into this clearing, and we'll see if it sticks.
Okay, Katie, it's Wend.
Yes.
I just wanted to say I have to go. Hi. Sorry, I have to go now because I have to do a delivery job. So, but I did want to just thank you for everything and everybody in the group. It's been a very intense process and wonderful, and still, you know, working with some things that came up. And I really appreciated the stories that you read today about the prince, because, yeah, that triggered some things in me which I want to write about as well. But I think it would, if this invisible piece that you were talking about earlier, I would also add my vote for including that in the clearing if that comes up, and then I'll be able to listen to it later.
Wonderful, and thank you so much, Wend, for your participation, and also the sharing about the fairy tales, which was great, mm-hmm. And the sources there. I'm getting an echo. So have a good day delivering the news.
Oh, it's the whole
note.
The whole note magazine, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I got to go on a long trip, so yeah.
Right. So thank you very much, and all our love as you go there.
Okay.
Thanks, Wend.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Okay, so anything more in this pot of invisibility and pleasing?
Katie, it's Deborah.
Hi, Deborah.
Hi, everybody. I'm you know, quadrupling or whatever the invisibility piece. Yeah, it's interesting because I was at this conference all weekend, and last night I had this experience of we had like this open mic thing last night, and I was watching myself getting really, you know, there's always that part of me that, you know, getting up and performing, you know, there's the part of me that wants to hide, and then there's the part of me that just wants to get out there and do it. And I noticed myself wanting to get up on the stage and then feeling like I couldn't get up or I shouldn't get up, and almost getting fucking angry. Like I was watching my anger coming up, and the you know, and then wanting to go up, but then not going up. I went up and I did something up there, which I always do. I always do. But it was just, I watched this process of, I haven't had that for a while. So I think it's all the stuff we've been doing is stirred up that old invisible, because I've been very quite visible in the performance, and I haven't had that come up for a long time, but it really came up yesterday. So I know that there's deep work at hand here, you know, that it's stirred up some deep stuff. So I just wanted to put that in the pot.
So we'll put that there. And anything else before we go? Invisibility and pleasing is what I've got as the list for the two things.
What about just unconscious fear?
Sorry?
What about the parts that have not come up, but the fear and anxiety are still there? That kind of thing. You could just
the fear and the anxiety around
taking action, maybe?
Of being visible,
yeah.
Oh, okay. That makes it much clearer for me. Yes, okay, thank you. That would be great. So that as part of that. Okay, so unless somebody else got something else, I'm going to go right into that so that we get to the other parts. Okay, so let me just... Okay, and people can tap along, you know, with their left foot, right foot, or they can, do the tapping if they know EFT tapping in the traditional way. And I'll just do this. Or you can just listen, whichever is good for you. Knowing that the healing is being done and the clearing's being done. Okay, so even though I'm fed up and tired of being invisible for who I am and just pleasing other people, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I've learned for so many years that in order to please other people, I have to become invisible, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though for so many years I've forgotten who I am truly, in order to please others, I deeply love and accept myself. Okay, it's enough. I'm done. I hate pleasing people, and I've just done it too much, and I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop pleasing people. I'm going to tell them what I feel. And maybe for a while it's not going to be so nice. And maybe I'm going to not please a few people. And maybe I'm going to hurt a few people even. So what? I've been hurt for many, many years. And if somebody gets their feelings hurt, well, so bloody what? So what? So what? Fuck them. Fuck everybody. I'm done with pleasing. I don't want to please. For me, to please is not a good thing. Is not a good thing. And when I come out in who I am, it's going to please some people and it's not going to please others. It's going to please some people and it's not going to please others. So too bad. I'm just for those people, and those people are the people I'm going to mostly hang out with. And if the other people who aren't pleased by me want to come around, well, it's their deal, okay? They can also leave if they want, because I'm not going to please them. I'm not going to play the dance to please. I'm just going to be who I am. And actually, that may take a little time. It might take a little time for me to figure out who the fuck I am after pleasing for so many years, because actually all those voices inside me of what I need to do to please have been pretty loud, and my little voice inside, which tells me what I want, is a little faint. So I just have to listen extra carefully to what I feel. Okay, so why am I afraid of being invisible? Why am I afraid? Oh, that's interesting. Why am I afraid of being invisible? I thought it was I was afraid of being visible. But maybe I'm afraid of being invisible. I'm afraid of being invisible because if I'm invisible, I'll never be seen for who I am. I'm afraid that I'll never be seen for who I am. I'm anxious and afraid that I'll never be seen for who I truly am. And yet I'm afraid of coming out in that way. I'm afraid of them seeing me and not liking who I am. I'm afraid of that. But I'm also really afraid of never being seen for who I am. And I want to be seen for who I am, not just by a few people, but by a lot of people, because I think I have something to give to this world. I think I have something big to give to this world, and hell, I'm going to give it. And hell, I'm not going to be invisible anymore. And some of the fears and some of the anger and some of all those messy emotions that I've been trying to avoid, I'm just going to have to deal with. It may not please me either. But I'm going to deal with it because I've decided I'm going to be invisible. I'm going to go as the prince or the princess to the ball, and the ball is going to be what I want it to be, not the kind of ball that's in fairy tales and in Cinderella. It's my ball. It's how I define it. And I'm learning what I want and how I want to define it. I'm going to the party, and it's going to be my party, and I'm going to do what I please, and I'm going to be at the center of attention. And that's okay for once, because that's too long that I haven't been at the center of attention, that other people have stole my fire, have stole my light, have stole everything from me. It's other times that there have been certain people who've just dominated everything, and I've not been able to stand up. I've not been able to be there. So I'm taking my place, and as I take my place, other people will take my place, and there is space for all of us. There's a time for all of us. There's space for all of us. Okie dokie. So I'm going to... that was it for that clearing, and I think that's as much clearing as I'm going to do for now. In this money marathon, except we're going to end with the healing codes for whoever wants to stay. And just what I would love to include right now is people just saying a final few words about this experience and whatever they want to say to the group. And it doesn't have to be long, and it's just what comes up for you. So, so there we go.
Katie, it's Katrina.
Hi, Katrina.
Hey, that was
Katrina.
That was an absolutely wonderful clearing. I felt a lot of energy coming back into my body. It was really great. Mm. So I'm simply going to say thank you so much, everybody. This was a really rich, eye-opening change of perspective in terms of putting all the perspectives in the pot. And because I certainly can think my own perspective is the only one that matters. Mm. So it was great to have everybody else's, and now I feel more expansive, so thank you.
Thank you, Katrina. It's always such a pleasure having you in the groups. Who wants to go next?
I can go next. It's Deborah.
Hi, Deborah.
Hi. I'm still haven't heard all the calls yet because I was, but I'm really looking forward to hearing everything. But and even though I haven't been, I missed so many of the calls live with you guys. I so enjoyed the recordings, and it's been nice when I can actually get on here. Mm. It's been a very, it's been really deep. So much stuff coming up, and this last clearing was really good because this weekend was really interesting to watch all those old parts of me coming up, as I just mentioned earlier. And you kind of, this whole piece around also, wanting to be recognized and wanting to be seen, that was coming up for me last night in the scenario I was mentioning about. That was good. You kind of addressed that in your clearing. Yeah, so I just wanted to thank everybody. And, yeah, what a just an amazing sharing of everybody and, yeah, learning from people's different perspectives. It was really interesting for me. So thanks, everybody.
And thank you, Deborah. And I think it's been an interesting thing that you were kicked off most of the calls at the beginning by Skype. So that certainly fed into that kind of feeling of not being part of it at certain points, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad you've been able to profit from the experience and be on the final call. That in itself is a real accomplishment, mm-hmm. given all the things that have been happening. So mm-hmm. thank you for coming.
Mm.
And yeah.
Thank you, Katie.
Thank you. So who would like to go next?
It's Loretta here.
Loretta, hi.
Yeah, a couple of things. One is I think in these last 10 days I really have learned to be friends with swirl, and that swirl is all these emotions that come up, and I have felt really held. I want to thank the group. You know, it's not often that I get into a group like this where I'm with mostly people I don't know, and that I'm able to speak. I think speaking up has been the real gift of this time. on Facebook and also on the calls. It's not my usual way, but it's been good for me to do it, and I have felt very safe. And I think that's because of the people. Even though I don't know them, would not recognize them if I met them on the street, I feel there's a safety in this container, and I'm very, very grateful for it. And I think the last gift came when you did the last clearing, and it was that I'm not afraid of being visible. I'm afraid of being invisible. That's the deepest fear. So it's just like all these insights keep coming up, and I'm just going to stay dancing with the swirl and just being really full of gratitude to you, Katie, and to all of the people in the group. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Loretta. Your participation and speaking up has really been wonderful and an important part of this group. Thank you.
Thank you. Katie, while the line is open here, this is Denise. I just want to also say I was really grateful for the container and struck by just the quality of the sharing and the quality of people on the call. So I want to not only thank you for the container, but everyone who participated.
Yes. Thank you. And so true. And
I wanted to thank you, too, very, very much, Katie, for...
Yes. That's Tyra, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Not just the course or the classes, but for being who you are and... being a loving individual, because it's been extremely helpful to me. It's been a rough week, and I'm going out kind of confused, and it's sort of like all these papers I've been fighting all summer that are all over my floor. And I feel that you've turned the soil in a very wonderful way, in a deep way, and. And like other people said, Loretta included, that it was a safe way to do that. And, oh, your safe way. And the other thing is that I feel a little bit guilty because I want you to be my godmother so much that sometimes I just don't want to take advantage of your goodness. And... I just appreciate it very much and appreciate everything that everybody said. It's a wonderful, wonderful group. I wish I could meet a lot of you, all of you.
Thank you very much, Tyra, for saying that. And as to the guiltiness about you wanting to be me to be your fairy godmother and not to take advantage, I think, and this is for our role as fairy godmothers, it's actually my responsibility to do that in the sense of giving as much as I can and in a very full and generous way, and also giving to myself. And that's something I'm really working on, and I think actually I'm in the process of transforming some aspects of that. So thank you for being concerned. And I think it's something for all of us helpers and fairy godmothers, is that it's learning that part too, which is so important. So thank you. That was so sweet. So who wants to go? Anything else, Tyra, or I'll go to the next person?
No, I just feel lots of work ahead, and I just thank you for that. And I'm also mad at you. No, I'm not, really.
Yes.
No, I'm not.
Well, that's okay, too.
If I can do nothing else.
Yes, yeah. So, wonderful. So we'll go on to the next person. And by the way, it's totally natural to... for anger to come up and things to come up, you know, around the group leader. That's actually really natural. And some of it can be justified and some of it can be projection. It's all part of the game. And
I think I'm just mad that you're leaving.
Oh, okay. Thank you. And actually, that's something I haven't addressed, is that, you know, how we all feel just as a group ends. It's always... You know, it's sad. It's ending in its present manifestation, which doesn't mean you people won't be meeting and being part of something else where we may include some of the same people, but it is sad. It's an ending. So maybe we'll put that into the pot with the healing code. I know I'm sad. And, yeah, because this has been a fabulous experience for me. So who else would like to say something?
Hi, Katie. It's Alex.
Hi, Alex.
Hi. I'm just trying to be with where I'm at, and I'm definitely feeling a lot of mixed emotions, and definitely the pot has been really stirred up, and a lot of anger has come up, but as you said, I'm looking to use it in a positive way, and just having the group, it's a miracle that I pretty much made it on, I think, almost every call except for one. And I think just that commitment to myself during a really turbulent time has really shown me the, like, importance of committing to myself and, like, on a daily basis over and over, even though I know this, that self-care and self-nourishment. And then also just having such a, like heart-centered group. I think that I've been really missing that since I came back from Maui, and, you know, just was feeling a little displaced and not really sure why I was called back, you know, other than to sort out business and have family stuff come up, but just feeling really out of place. And this is just helping me to come back to that place within and remind myself that place within us is always there no matter where we go or what we're going through. And it's just given me a lot of almost like empowerment, you know, to remind myself that we have done the work, we are doing it, we are living it, and that yes, there are things along the way, but they're just part of the journey. And I kind of was having fun with it too, like kind of like what Gary said, like maybe this whole thing happened for him to be able to speak up. And I feel like a bit like that with some things going on in my life, is I'm turning them into opportunities instead of, you know, having them to be victimized or feel like I'm never going to get through this. So thank you for all that you have held for us, and everything that everyone has mirrored was so beautiful. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Alex, and for your full-hearted participation in this, despite all that was going on. That's been wonderful. Who would like to go next?
Hi,
even if you, okay. Hello.
This is Anne.
Anne, hi Anne.
Hey. I just wanted to thank everybody for all of your shares, and it gives me courage to kind of branch out on some of the things I've been thinking about, but just feel like I'm in my little bubble. And I just sent a poem to you, my poem to Katie, because I get overwhelmed and then I don't post things on Facebook. So I send it to you to post.
Okay, and I'll do that.
Yeah, and I just feel like it was just so warming to hear. What's that? And I just wanted to thank everybody for everything you said, and it's given me quite a bit of courage, actually. And I tend to not show up for all these calls because I get overwhelmed with everything I've signed up for, but I actually showed up, and that's a really good thing. And my living room is filled with papers, but I feel really good because it's kind of like I took a hurricane and I was just unearthing all this stuff that's been sort of packed away. So Russ has just been fantastic, and thanks for everything from everybody, from you, Katie, and thank you.
Well, thank you. It's been such a delight having you on with us. And, and I'll definitely share your poem. Who's next?
It's Kathy's here.
Kathy, great.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to say how much I appreciated the really deep heart space that we created, and that you held a really deep space, and we co-created that too, and just sort of opening up that space so we could dive into the fairy tales and into that sort of space of possibility to see what would come up, because you never know what'll come up when you go into those places. So we just wanted to say much appreciated that, and. Yeah, it's a bit sad to be ending, because it's been fun.
Yeah. Thank you, and it's been so good having you, and with your angle on the storytelling, and and thank you for sharing that link about Michelle. And thank you. And is there anything else you wanted to say, Kathy? Or I think there's. Who has not said their last words? I think, Gary, you're still there, and I know you've said a lot, but you could maybe just say a few more words. And then if there's anybody else I've missed, please say something.
Hey, Gady, it's funny that you say my last words. I feel, okay, am I on death row?
No, it's not meant that way.
No, I know, but who was it who said it? I had the dream about change your perspective.
That was Denise.
Oh, thank you very much for that. Because it's like, if I keep drawing back to all the things that have happened through my childhood and before I was even born, and on and on and on, like my daughter always says, if you're looking for something wrong, you'll find it. And so it's really time to change my perspective. And even today, just totally, I had no idea what would happen. I wasn't even going to get on the call, to be quite honest. I was just going to avoid the call, and then something inside of me just get on.
And, we're so glad you did.
And I'd like to really be friends with everybody. If anybody's interested in being Facebook friends, I'd like to have that and continue this going. And it doesn't always have to be focused on healing and wellness and things. It can be focused on a new perspective as well. Anyway, so thank you all very, very much.
Thank you, Gary. And, everybody, reach out. There's a Facebook where you can become friends if you're not. There's one person who's not on Facebook. And I'll just send out a thing where I haven't put everybody's name in the group so it's visible because of, the nature of the group. But for those of you who would like to share your email with others, please, I'll send out something and, just ask for people to reply, and then I'll send it out to those who are comfortable with that, if that would be good for people. Okay? And as I said, because all those who are on Facebook, which is almost everybody, can get in touch with each other through Facebook and just ask to be friends. And if people want to be friends, they can be friends. And if not, that's their choice. So thank you, Gary. Now, is there anybody else I've missed?
I'm out here.
And who's
Hello?
I'm?
I'm me. I'm Trina.
Oh, Trina, sorry. How I can't even. Okay, yeah, good that you said it, because we've heard earlier, but we haven't heard now. So
just practicing my invisibility over here in the corner.
Okay, well, you did a very good job, because I was trying to rack my brain who hadn't talked yet or said anything in the last word.
I'm very good at lurking in corners. I just wanted to say, I wanted to thank you all. Thank you, especially Katie and the rest of you for your insights. This is the first time I've played this game or joined a group like this, so I've sort of been, dabbling and checking out the lay of the land. So I'm sorry it's ending now that I'm just beginning to get in the stride of the thing, but I can always go back and listen to everything all over again and do the work. So, but yeah, thanks. It's been cool.
Well, thank you. And even though you've practiced invisibility at times, you've actually done a pretty good job of also participating in the calls. And it's really been helpful to have your perspectives on the fairy tales and how you see it. So wonderful. So have I missed anybody else there? Your last call.
Katie, I hate to put something administrative this late, so I hope you'll stay on another minute and say something.
Yes.
But we use the word Facebook all the time, and I have the hardest time finding our Facebook because I never can remember the name.
Oh, well, I do have a link that I can send you, and I'll send out where you can just go directly to the link. But the name is... Oh, gosh. Money Matrix 3, I think. But
yeah.
How it's exactly written.
Money Matrix Marathon number 3.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Because I just finally went on it right now.
Thank you.
And I will send out an email with all the links, and it'll be later today probably, and all the links for all the materials. And what I'm going to ask people to do, including the link to the Facebook group, is just save that email, because I'll put in things I put in before and asked you to save, but save it to your, you can save a letter, an email, to your desktop, and just make a folder called Money Marathon, and then hopefully that will help you whenever you want to go back to it. And of course, that failing, because I know we all, I do this all the time, I'm always looking for links. If that fails, you can always email me, because you got me on your email. Okay, so thank you, Tyra, for saying that, because it's, I know quite a number of people kind of have been sort of, where is that link? So it's good to remember that. So I'm going to just thank all of you for this incredible experience, and I've done the Money Marathon 3 times, and this is the third one, and I was experimenting with this more with this archetypal thing, and I went into it a lot more than I have previously, and it's been a wonderful experience for me. I've really enjoyed it, and what's made it so worthwhile is people's participation. If you guys hadn't participated, if you hadn't told me your stories of how you relate to Cinderella or how you don't, it would just not have worked in the same way. And so I'm really, it's been marvelous, amazing experience for me. Just as you, I'm clearing things all the time, and I guess I will do until I until I bid this world farewell. And it's for me, actually, I think, there's been a number of things that I think I've become clearer on in terms of my role as fairy godmother. And also, even today, I found Gary bringing this thing up about invisibility. It's an issue for me, too, of course. All these issues are issues that I've dealt with or am dealing with, but the thing of pleasing people, and actually when you're a group leader, you want to please everybody. You want to be able to do everything for everybody, and I'm like that, and it's a kind of an interesting dance because you can't possibly do that. And I've been looking at that for myself during this this whole workshop experience too. So anyway, thank you everybody. It's been amazing, and I'm going to go into the healing codes unless I heard somebody say something, I think, which wasn't me, or was I imagining it? Okay, so we'll just do the healing codes, and thank you all for staying on so long for this last part. And, okay, so what are we going to put into this? Okay, are the positive truth, or the truth focus statement, shall I say, not the positive thing that we'll focus on, is I'm going to let, and you can change this, but this is what's coming up. I'm going to let my little light shine, or I'm going to let my light shine. Like in that, I don't know if you know the song of Let It Shine, Let It Shine, and I've forgotten the title. Gosh. Anyway, I'm going to let my light shine, and we'll just clear all this stuff around invisibility and pleasing. Okay, so here we go. Let me put it on lecture mode so that if anything comes up in the sound, it won't interrupt. Here we go. So, I pray, request that all known and unknown negative images, unhealthy beliefs, and destructive cellular memories, and all resulting physical issues related to invisibility and making myself invisible, not wanting to be seen, and all those issues about trying to please others and so not neglecting my who I am and what I have to bring to this world, that all those things of selling myself to the devil, being those people I want to please, that all that be cleared. And also letting go of any feelings of grief and sadness and abandonment that I may feel as this group comes to an end, that all these issues be found, opened, and healed, filling me with the love, life, and light of the divine creative force of that person I may call God or may call some other thing. I also ask that the effectiveness of this healing be increased by 100 times or more. Okay. So we're pointing our fingers at the in between the eyebrows. I'm going to let my light shine. I sure am. Been long enough hiding my light. I'm sure going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Okay. And then down to the throat, pointing the energy from your hands to the throat. Let it shine. Okay, corner of the jaws. I'm going to please myself. I'm going to let it shine. And then to the side of the forehead, the temples. Your left hand pointed at the left side, your right hand at the right side, pointing the energy, streaming the energy towards your temples. Then, once again, in between the eyebrows, knowing that we're all connected, even though we'll be saying goodbye today. Goodbye to one experience, hello another. Still connected, all is one, and one for all. Then down to the throat, then to the side of the jaw, then to the side of the temple. And we're going to cycle once again in between the eyebrows. One last cycle. Then down to the throat. And then to the side of the jaws. Side of the temples. And then just placing our hands right on top of the head and then letting them go down to our sides when we're ready and opening our eyes and resting it on something beautiful and in our environment. And I just want to say once again, thank you so much for all your participation. I'll just open it up for a last goodbye of those who are on the call. And what I wanted to say also, for all those people who couldn't be on this last call, I was holding you in my heart and thinking about you in this last clearing. And bye-bye, everybody. Yay for all of us. And let our light shine.
Yay.
Bye-bye.
Yay.
Bye.
Thank you, Katie.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, Katie. Bye.